All right, folks. Good evening. It's Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. July 23rd, 2023. Pretty much at fever pitch with all these things coming at us and all these different directions. Silent weapons for quiet wars. The report from Iron Mountain, from PSYOP to Mind War, this military intelligence matrix, the slave grid, quickly descending upon the peoples of the earth. And something big's up their sleeve, unfortunately, probably this year. Some sort of an event, a catalyzing event, such as a new Pearl Harbor that was talked about in the Project for a New American Century. And then they ran the COVID op. And it seems like the next op is right here in our face. Many of us are looking and trying to see it. Unfortunately, we can all, you know, I was at my sister's house yesterday, you know, a little small pool party. And I was talking to a couple semi-like-minded individuals there. They're on the Trump train still and this sort of thing, but they're good, decent, you know, entrepreneurial-minded, pro-gun, pro-liberty, free speech, conservative type, you know, Americanas. And I was like, look, man, something's right. We're on the cusp of something right here where there's going to be have to be a catalyzing event to drag us into this, you know, digital currency system, this, you know, 1933 all over again. So we're 90 years out from 1933 when they pulled the whole emergency there and said it was a crime to own gold and all that good stuff. And so we're 90 years later. Very, very fascinating kind of anniversary here. So I got it just in my notes from, you know, during the week. And this whole thing with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and this little show with this Plaskett broad and some of these other people up there in Congress, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Now, there's a video floating around on BitChute right now that is very creepy of this Plaskett black female from, you know, non-voting member, I think, from, you know, Virgin Islands or something of this nature. But she's been really put to the forefront of being a real attack dog for the Jacobin Marxist left that occupies the Democrat Party now. And there's this video floating around. You can find it on BitChute, trending videos, where there's this creepy white girl behind her. And as Plaskett is reading her, you know, remarks that were written down, this creepy, like, weirdo-looking, strung-out on ADHD meds white chick behind her is mouthing the words, the exact words that this Plaskett lady is reading. And if you don't get creeped out by that one, that's some weird stuff. And then the girl, the sitting behind Plaskett, realizes the camera is on her, and she flips out and loses her cool and gets really put on the hot seat. This is some very creepy stuff. So I'm sure those of you guys in the chat rooms, one of you can find that and put that there. And if you haven't seen it, you want to get wigged out. Because there's some, you know, this thing that we're facing with this whole, like, agenda, where it seems like the political class of, you know, half the country, they split into these two parties, have just totally lost their minds and embraced every form of just wickedness, evil, and degeneracy, whatever you want to call it, that it's off the charts. So I had in my notes, RFK cannot reform the Jacobins, okay, this party that calls itself Democrat. The Jacobin party of our nation, he can't reform them. Now, and they've become so ruthless that anyone that even tries is liquidated. That's why I've said it for years. It's very, very dangerous to be a person on the left side of the political spectrum in the United States that's trying to be honest and so forth and so on. You're dead meat. You know, the Paul Wellstones and so forth. These people get whacked. And so the article, I was digging around this morning, and it really kind of tied in with my note. RFK Jr. finally faces the real killers of his Klan. And this is on State of the Nation. It's Dear Robert Kennedy Jr. Robert, do you get it? Sure you know that the party of JFK and RFK is gone, totally gone, as in taken over by hardcore communists and Marxists, Bolsheviks, anarchists, socialists, Satanists, nihilists, whatever you want to say. And certainly you knew that you would face a witch hunt at the House hearing, as you did, conducted by the very worst Democrat witch in the USA ever, and that's Wasserman Schultz he's talking about. Really, you must have expected getting lynched by the chief Khazarian witch, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, before you even had a trial. Yes, no, maybe. Please, if you haven't already, Mr. Kennedy, take a close read of the over 2,500 comments posted under the following video that one witch inquisition conducted by Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Every single comment posted by Dems and Republicans alike is in total support of you and your noble efforts to bridge the political divide in American government. However, that's not why we're writing this open letter. We're penning this proposal because of what happened before the hearing ever took place. As you well know, 102 Democrats signed a letter addressed to Speaker McCarthy to disinvite you from that hearing. You know, the guy's thrown his hat in the ring for the Democratic nomination for president. And then you've got 102 of these people, you know, and Kennedy had Dennis Kucinich sitting right behind him during this hearing. And he's sitting there laughing at these people. It's pretty wild. As you know, 102 Democrats signed a letter addressed to McCarthy to disinvite you. The four most rabid instigators of that utterly repugnant letter were predictably Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Dan Goldman, Jamie Raskin, and Adam Schiff, which ought to tell you something right there. Yes, the four biggest rabble-rousers were none other than the Khazarian Mafia's most powerful and vocal political hitmen, who do nothing but pollute the U.S. Congress with their treasonous stench every time they open their mouths. Well, you know, and then it goes on, this article goes on, and it talks about the Kennedy assassination, and there's links. And then one of them is, we won't mince words here, the Khazarian cabal, which oversees Chicago's Jewish super mob that effectively runs the American military-industrial complex, is directly responsible for the four tragic assassinations. You know, when he's talking about Kennedy's and all, and Malcolm X and all this stuff. So may we speak candidly? You've already stripped the CIA naked, as no one in public life has ever done before. You've outed the ever war profiteering Khazarian warmongers as no other political candidate has done in U.S. history. You've exposed Big Pharma's weaponized COVID-19 injections as the extremely injurious and lethal bioweapons that they truly are. So why not go for broke? There's clearly no one else in the Kennedy clan who could possibly do the damage that you can do to the Khazarian clan, which, by the way, has single-handedly wrecked and ruined the American Republic since the unconstitutional passing of the signature Federal Reserve Act 1913, and you could go back even further, but anyway. But the interesting thing, when it talks about the Chicago Jewish super mob, and I've got a link to that one also, and it gets into the Korshak family, okay? And it really, you get into this stuff with the Kennedy Association, and there's a real divide, kind of like we're seeing now with the Sound of Freedom movie. So now we know that the corporate mainstream media, they're going to attack the Sound of Freedom. They sent their attack dogs out. But then the alternative media, you also have this kind of all or nothing approach. You know, like Brandon Smith over at Alt Market talks about any person that questions the Sound of Freedom movie and blah, 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 blah should have their hard drive checked, implying that you're some sort of a kiddie porn person if you have questions about the Sound of Freedom movie. And I've got in my clips here, I've got the Mr. Ballard talking about Carlos Slim. So that's not a conspiracy theory that Carlos Slim and his son were involved with this Sound of Freedom thing. And then a lot of people are tying in the Vatican and the Jesuits playing all sides like they always do, just as their Jewish counterparts always do. Okay, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. But this gets into Sam Giancana, Charles Nicoletti, James Files, who I talked about a few months ago. Now, Dr. Fetzer and I talked, and he doesn't think Files is one of the shooters. You know, he's been on Robert Morningstar's broadcasts and so forth over on Revolution, this Files guy. And he's got an interesting story, and he's done time in Illinois' correctional centers and all this other stuff. But I found interesting this Korshak family. But anyway, when you look at this, it really gets you into how the Jewish mob and the Italian / Sicilian mob have always overlapped. Everywhere you see these mafia-like activities, you're going to see basically Italian mobsters and Jewish mobsters sometimes acting in concert, sometimes kind of, let's just say, having some issues with each other. Just like we see in the bigger pictures of this world conspiracy, how the Jews and the Jesuits are always kind of around each other and acting sometimes synergistically, and sometimes, you know, they've had trouble over the centuries. You know, the Protocols of Zion, the only real group of people by name mentioned in the protocols as some sort of a worthy adversary is the Jesuit order. And I've covered that ad nauseum on the broadcast. But it's interesting when you're looking at this Korshak. So you had this Sidney Korshak, lawyer for the Chicago outfit, defended high-level mobsters like Al Capone, Frank Nitti, Sam Giancana, Tony Accardo, and Mo Dalitz. You know, it makes me think of Roy Cohn also in his relationship with mobsters and Trump. The Korshak family is married into the Crown family of Chicago. Charles Corky Goodman, vice chairman of Henry Crown and Company, the family-owned company behind General Dynamics, and son-in-law of Irving Crown, is married to Margie Korshak, the daughter of the former Chicago political boss and city treasurer, Marshall Korshak, who had also served as director of the Illinois Department of Revenue and director of revenue for Chicago. And then there's a picture, tight with the mob, Margie Korshak left with Michelle Obama. And this brought the Penny Pritzker and this Pritzker family into my mind. You've got J.B. Pritzker sitting as the governor of Illinois right now. This another Jewish wing of this mafia in Chicago. And, of course, we know about the Pritzker that's the sibling of J.B., which is the tranny. And this whole thing with this tranny agenda in Chicago and the strange school where you had that big scandal up there some weeks back. Really, really crazy stuff. And then they got a picture of Former city treasurer Marshall Korshak shares a joke with then mayor of Chicago, Harold Washington. And this is back in the 80s. Okay. So while Marshall Korshak oversaw the revenue of Illinois and Chicago, his brother Sidney was a notorious lawyer and counselor to the National Crime Syndicate and was close to Giancana and Rosselli. According to Supermob, how Sidney Korshak and his criminal associates became America's hidden power brokers by Gus Russo. And it gets into the Godfather movie, and basically Robert Duvall's character was Tom Hagen, okay, and the consigliere to the Corleone family and the Godfather films and so forth. And they're saying this is actually based on this Jew, Sidney Korshak. But it's a very, very interesting article, and it's definitely worth a read. So that's over on State of the Nation. But, you know, you got these four attack dogs, some of the most sleazy and creepy Jews in our Congress. Okay, so you got Schiff. We know his relationship with Ed Buck and all that Hollywood dirt. You got Raskin, just one of the biggest creeps that has ever sat in Congress. Of course, Wasserman Schultz, and she's connected with her husband and all this stuff. And then this Goldman character who's connected to the Levi Strauss fortune. And so they're basically saying they're asking Kennedy to go for broke here. And look, I said this on the broadcast over the last number of weeks since Kennedy jumped in that, you know, his own family is throwing him under the bus. This is how crazy this is going here. And Big Pharma's, you know, really hardcore protection racket here with, you know, having his own family thrown under the bus because of his views about the dangers of vaccines. Now, he tried to really kind of, I've never said that I'm anti-vax. My kids are all vaxxed according to the schedule. So it's like Kennedy gets real squeamish. He doesn't want to be a lightning rod. And they're basically trying to say, look, you know, you bet you, they're going to crucify you regardless. So at least do some damage. That's basically what they're saying. And so Peter McCullough, mRNA vaccines contain tumor gene promoter SV40 and inhibit tumor suppressors. Okay, the turbo cancers, we've been hearing about this everywhere. SV40, hell, we've been hearing about that since Alex Jones came on the air with SV40 being put in various injections. You know, think about the protocols and where it talks about deadly inoculations and basically control, you know, decimating the goyim with these inoculations. And then also we're seeing this, the Pentagon now admitting, oh yeah, we had a big old spike in myocarditis and these heart issues post vaccination, but we're all just baffled about how this could happen. Okay, now you've got, where is this one at? There's this Cleveland Browns guy. Okay, he's got clots in his lungs and his legs. He probably got leaned on, not a prominent player. And so those guys probably just took the vax, you know. Jamie Foxx comes out, and then there's all this speculation about, you know, there's this whole conspiracy underbelly about stars when they go away for a certain amount of time, them being cloned and so forth. People said that about Kanye West. And so when you see these stars disappear, people saying that they're cloned, and some people saying that this was AI generated and all this weird stuff. Regardless, you know, the guy looks like a completely different person. So he had something go down pretty, pretty bad. Okay. Let me see here. I was thinking, this is in my notes. Remember the Death Wish series with Charles Bronson? I mean, this is where it's going to have to go. So you've got these BLM people getting paid by the city of New York. So the city of New York, hey, they're broke. They can't handle any more people coming in. So New York City awards record $13 million. So they use this 13 here to BLM rioters in settlement for being arrested during George Floyd protests. This is further demoralization of the police, destabilization of society, and guess what? You're emboldening people for the next round. Whenever they start the next round of civil unrest, they'll be like, yeah, we'll end up after this is all done. We might be able to get paid. So they're going to give all this money to more than 1,000 protesters arrested or interacting with police during these riots. It's such a multifaceted plan to, like I said, demoralize, embolden, demoralize the law-abiding public, embolden the criminal class, and then demoralize the cops. So, let's talk about, okay, so Harari just did a podcast with Lex Fridman. So this gay Jew, Klaus Schwab's little butt buddy here, he did this podcast with this other Jewish MIT guy, Lex Fridman. And he's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. And he's in the kind of the Rogan circuit. But let's get clip three ready, Mr. Producer. Where Harari tries to basically gaslight everybody after all the statements that he's made. And he's going to sit there and say, oh, there's no conspiracy. And after he's like, hey, humans are hackable animals. We'll become gods. The end of free will's here. All this crap. Let's listen to a little bit of clip three.
So I have to ask you about an interesting dynamic of stories. You wrote an article 2 years ago titled, When the World Seems Like One Big Conspiracy, How Understanding the Structure of Global Cabal Theories Can Shed Light on Their Allure and Their Inherent Falsehood. What are global cabal theories, and why do so many people believe them? 37% of Americans, for example.
Mm-hmm. Well, the global cabal theory, it has many variations, but basically there is a small group of people, a small cabal, that secretly controls everything that is happening in the world. All the wars, all the revolutions, all the epidemics, everything that is happening is controlled by this very small group of people who are, of course, evil and have bad intentions. And this is a very well-known story. That it's not new. It's been there for thousands of years. It's very attractive. Because first of all, it's simple. You don't have to understand everything that happens in the world. You just need to understand one thing. The war in Ukraine, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, 5G technology, COVID-19. It's simple. There is this global cabal. They do all of it. And also, it enables you to shift all the responsibility to all the bad things that are happening in the world to this small cabal. It's the Jews. It's the Freemasons. It's not us. And also it creates this fantasy, utopian fantasy. If we only get rid of the small cabal, we solved all the problems of the world, salvation. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the war in Ukraine, the epidemics, poverty, everything is solved just by knocking out this small cabal. So, and it's simple, it's attractive, and this is why so many people believe it. It's not new. Nazism was exactly this. Nazism began as a conspiracy theory. We don't call Nazism a conspiracy theory because, oh, it's a big thing. It's an ideology. But if you look at it, it's a conspiracy theory. The basic Nazi idea was the Jews control the world. Get rid of the Jews. You solved all the world's problems. Now, the interesting thing about these kind of theories, again, they tell you that even things that look to be the opposite of each other, actually they are part of the conspiracy. So in the case of Nazism, the Nazis told people, you know, you have capitalism and communism. You think that they are opposite, right? Ah, this is what the Jews want you to think. Actually, the Jews control both communism, Trotsky, Marx, or Jews, blah, 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 and capitalism, the Rothschilds, the Wall Street, it's all controlled by the Jews. So the Jews are fooling everybody. But actually, the communists and the capitalists are part of the same global cabal. And again, this is very attractive because, now I understand everything and now I also know what to do. I just give power to Hitler. He gets rid of the Jews. I solved all the problems of the world. Now, as a historian, the most important thing I can say about these theories, they are never right because the global cabal theory says two things. First, everything is controlled by a very small number of people. Secondly, these people hide themselves. They do it in secret. Now, both things are nonsense. It's impossible for people to control, a small group of people, to control and predict everything because the world is too complicated. You know, you look at a real world conspiracy. Conspiracy is basically just a plan. Think about the American invasion of Iraq in 2003. You had the most powerful superpower in the world. With the biggest military, with the biggest intelligence services, with the most sophisticated, you know, the FBI and the CIA and all the agents. They invade a third-rate country, third-rate power, Iraq. With this idea, we'll take over Iraq and we'll control it, we'll make a new order in the Middle East. And awful everything falls apart. Their plan completely backfires. Yeah. Everything they hope to achieve the opposite. America, United States, is humiliated. They caused the rise of ISIS. They wanted to take out terrorism. They created more terrorism. Worst of all, the big winner of the war was Iran. You know, the United States goes to war with all its power and gives Iran a victory on a silver plate. The Iranians don't need to do anything. The Americans are doing everything for them. Now, this is real history. Real history is when you have not a small group of people, a lot of people with a lot of power carefully planning something and it goes...
All right, we'll see you guys on the other side of the break. Again, you can go ahead and stop that, Mr. Producer. But you can see that on YouTube, Lex Friedman and Harari. Basically, let the cat out of the bag.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're back. Incendiary Radio on the Public Broadcasting Network. If you can support the network, please do so. You know, got to keep the network going. People exposing this stuff. You know, there's a glut of alternative media out here on the video platforms, and there's some radio networks out here. You know, you've had a few that have been around for some years. RBN been around for a long time. So let's think about this with what Harari was talking about with Iraq and then basically screwing up and then empowering Iran. Well, the way I was looking at this plan, and I've been on the radio for quite a few years, they first went to Afghanistan, all right, bombed the crap out of the place, installed a puppet government, built some big old military bases there, right? Then, so that's on Iran's eastern flank. Then they decide to pull the Iraq operation. Now, remember what Wesley Clark was saying. These jerks, these nuts, the Feist, the Pearls, the Whirlful Witches, Zakheims, all of them goofballs that were behind the Bush administration, they had that whole view to take down a whole bunch of countries pretty rapidly. Remember that Wesley Clark stuff where everybody played that forever? So you go in and you shock and awe Iraq, bomb them, depleted uranium, the whole nine yards, and then you build the world's biggest embassy, size of the Vatican in Baghdad. This was basically a sequential move to put Iran in a pincher. This is on Iran's western flank, basically. And then look at the operation in Syria. You see, this was all squeezing. This was an attempt to squeeze Iran, and Iran was going to be the big deal. And then this thing happened where during Obama's administration, I even said it, you know, I was like, well, this is interesting because it's one of the things that Obama did that probably upset quite a few of these, the neocons. Now, Obama was sitting there letting Victoria Nuland and the gang run this whole coup in Ukraine, right? Trump, he allegedly has Soleimani killed on an airstrip. You know, these people are still pissed about that, by the way. Trump is, he's in danger. People don't realize, people forget so quickly, and I do too. I've got a brain that, you know, you try to hold in all your information, but you know, sometimes it just, it, you know, it escapes you. So there's a lot going on there. But Harari, you know, the little creep, you know, and this kind of ties in. This is on the intel drop. Maidan coup attempt in Israel. How does it affect the interest of Russia? In Israel, the biggest unrest in the 76 years of independence of this small Middle Eastern country, where about 1 million inhabitants are our former co-patriots. And this is written by a Russian. For the first time in years, protests are blocking highways and blocking Ben-Gurion Airport, and mounted police are deployed to unblock the authorities. For the first time, Israeli citizens refuse to attend reservist training. Israeli President Yitzhak Herzog said the country is on the brink of civil war. Now we got Bibi falling ill and having some major heart surgery coming up. What is happening in Israel shows all the signs of a color revolution that we have become accustomed to over the past decades. At the same time, the organizers are the same as in similar events from Kiev to Caracas, from Belgrade to Hong Kong. Strange as it may sound to anyone, the ears of the U.S. State Department and George Soros are looming behind the events in Tel Aviv. You just had Alexander Soros and Bill Clinton going to hang out with the Jesuit Pope in the last couple of weeks. So very, very interesting things going on behind the scenes. You know, Rents had this guy, Father Paul Kramer, on, I think it was Friday, and I was listening to a rebroadcast. And these guys were talking about Bergoglio and how he's an anti-pope and an apostate and all this stuff. But they didn't bring in, they didn't really just say, this is, Bergoglio doesn't do anything without the Jesuits. He's a Jesuit. He is not going to do anything without the heavy hitters in the order telling him to do so. Just because he's the white pope doesn't mean a damn thing. Okay, Mr. Sosa, Arturo Sosa, the black pope, this is the general, he's calling the shots. You got a Jesuit papacy from top to bottom right now. And these guys are world revolutionaries. They, you know, And until we get this through our thick skulls here and look at this thing in totality and realize that, you know, hey, this is big picture stuff, okay? So anyway, it gets into – and remember what Kissinger said, okay? Kissinger said Israel will not exist in 10 years. And he said that's quite a while back. And he's what, Hungarian Jew. But there's something going on here with Israel, and it really ties in with Ukraine. And so, you know, you get into that old Tex Mar stuff where he's talking about this second Jewish homeland and all this stuff. And there's all this stuff, operations going on against the Palestinians right now. It's something to definitely keep our eyes on because – there could be some strange upheavals that start happening in Israel with I don't know, you could call it some massive democratic demographic shifts to the Ukraine. It's a possibility. I don't know. Let's see here. Mr. Producer, get clip six ready since we're talking about Ukraine and kind of this second Israel and all this stuff. And I found this over on fromrome.info. But let's just listen to this guy. And keep in mind the possibility with Putin and the Kabad Lubavitch gang from Russia and all that stuff. Go ahead, roll clip 6.
But it was always the intention of the Russian military and part of the general plan to vaporize as many Ukrainians as possible. And it's not as many people involved, but it's as tragic in a lot of ways and as contrived as Holodomor. And I don't know what the term is in Ukrainian. I'll probably put it in the title. But whatever the Ukrainian language is for male democide, genocide, that's what's happened. I'm going to flash an article up on the screen right now where Zelensky, this was pretty much, they tried to disappear it from the internet. You'll probably be familiar with it. I think I might have mentioned it in one of my other videos between the beginning and of the war and now, that Zelensky referred to Ukraine as Big Israel. And what he meant was a state that's stylized on, you know, fashioned after the Israeli state, militarized civilians and, you know, maximum paranoia and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't take much extension of intention to understand what it probably means. Because all of that money, you know, if you're American or Canadian or Australian or Western European, all that money they lavished on Ukraine that the people of Ukraine never got, and they sure as hell not bought it, never bought any ammunition with. That money was all stolen, but those loans were extended on your backs. It's money they borrowed from you to lavish on Ukraine that the Ukrainians never received, that indebted every penny plus massive interest now that the interest rates are going through the roof, is being lumped on the backs of this declining number of Ukrainians. So they're going to repo the country. They're going to emigrate people from a number of countries. I'll let you guess which ones. And immigration to repopulate and facilities to rebuild with all of the corporate invitees. The list is endless. They're all owned by globalists. They're going to be rebuilding Ukraine from the bottom up. Probably the most fertile ground on earth agriculturally, and as far as resources go, largely unexploited resources that would challenge the best that Africa has to offer, another region the globalists have their covetous eyes on. But since they can't completely monopolize everything just yet, they're just saving that for a future date. In the meantime, they're not letting the Africans develop, you know, because climate change, right? Yeah, this was all in the cards from the very beginning. I kind of knew that. I didn't think they would be as effective and efficient at impoverishing you while they were doing it. This is the way they roll, folks. And if you think that I'm grabbing at straws saying that they're depopulating the country deliberately... yeah, here's a Ukrainian soldier. I don't know if he's still alive. He's probably not. But he knew the score.
But think about the rapacious nature of the Khazarians that want Khazaria back. Okay, from these white Slav Orthodox people. And think about the rapacious nature of the Jesuits who want to wage war on the Orthodox due to the great schism that happened in the 11th century and the, let's just say, the more militant elements of the Church of Rome, not the normal Roman Catholic person or priest, but the militia of the Pope, which is the Jesuit order and a couple of others. The war on Orthodoxy. You see how the Jew and the Jesuit have this similar paradigm towards a lot of other nations. Okay, so DC Uniparty kills House resolutions to end U.S. emergency powers in Iraq, Syria, Libya, and Yemen. So in a massive show of support for limitless executive power, Congress rejected legislation that would have terminated national emergency powers, allowing Washington to wage war across the Middle East. These same emergency powers give the president the power to lift bans on testing biological weapons on U.S. citizens. Led by Representative Paul Gosar, a handful of Republican members of Congress launched a protest against 41 nominal national emergency declarations, many of which are decades old. Gosar has argued that the National Emergencies Act is tyrannical, granting 148 separate powers to the executive branch. This July 18th, the House voted down five resolutions to terminate national emergency powers, which date back as far as 2003. That's when the Iraq shock and awe started. The countries affected by the five resolutions include Congo, Yemen, Libya, Syria, and Iraq. Each vote saw a coalition of pro-war Democrats and Republicans join together in overwhelming numbers to protect the executive branch's emergency authorities. You see, it's same old, McCarthy and all these people in D.C., blah, 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 blah. Because the Jewish and Jesuit masters in the District of Criminals tell these people how they're going to vote. If not, something happens to them. Okay, now, this is on Christians for Truth, okay? And how Franco's belief in a Jewish Masonic Bolshevik conspiracy to destroy Christian Spain was vindicated, okay? And then it starts with a Jewish Chronicle article. A historian is now denying that there were enough Jews in Spain to organize a Jewish Masonic Bolshevik conspiracy, which Francisco Franco believed was actively hell-bent on destroying and overthrowing Christian Spain. Well, a lot of stuff would happen in Spain and Portugal. You had the Fatima apparitions. Very interesting stuff there. And so Spain and Portugal, you can read a lot of history on that. But I'm just going to forward past that and get to the Christians for Truth part of it. Spain was the first country in Europe to be subverted and destroyed by Jews, who aided and abetted the Muslim invasion and conquering of Spain circa 700 AD. Jews then played a prominent role in sharing power with the conquering Muslims during the Convivencia, the period of Muslim domination of Spain until the native Spanish retook Spain in the Reconquista. Notice how the Marxists down in Mexico and the Aztlan groups and the La Raza groups are using the term Reconquista to take back the Southwest from the United States. See how the Jesuits like to repackage words? When the Catholic Church reasserted its power in Spain, the Jews switched gears and pandered to the nobility, becoming indispensable as financing their lavish lifestyles at the expense of commoners in order to get protection and favors from the nobility. During the Middle Ages, Jews in Toledo sent out emissaries with orders to poison the wells of Christian towns and cities throughout Europe, many of whom were caught and confessed. When the Catholic Church demanded that the Jews remaining in Spain must convert to Christianity or leave, many converted, forming the new Jesuit order, which had so many Jews in it that it was known as a virtual synagogue. How often do I talk about this? And think about the second kind of manifestation of this in Spain with Opus Dei and Monsignor at Escriva and all the rabbis that were buddy-buddy with this guy. And you can read kind of Opus Dei history on many different websites, the St. Gemma family of websites. I think it's Opus Dei's rabbis or something of that nature. You can find that out there. But many of these converso Jews, while not nominally Christian, remain Jews in their hearts and continue to work to subvert Christian Spain, notably undermining the purity of blood of the old Christian bloodlines. Now, let's talk about Italy. Same thing. you had Pope Paul VI. Montini was his last name. He came from a Hebraic family. Okay, so just because somebody has a Spanish or an Italian last name does not mean that they might not be from a family of conversos. Okay, so just as in Spain, you have to realize that Rome also was totally penetrated in certain areas, and the Vatican itself. You got a bunch of cryptos in the Vatican, okay? So much so that one of Franco's top advisors claimed that over the next 500 years since the Inquisition, Spain had been corrupted by these converso Jews intermarrying into the original Ibero-Celtic-Gothic bloodline. Fast forward to the 20th century, the Bolshevik Jews who had invaded on conquered Christian Russia set their sights on Franco's Christian Spain, fomenting a communist takeover under the guise of a civil war as Jews from all over the world flooded into Spain to join this Bolshevik revolution. The fascist movements in both Spain and Italy arose in reaction to the horrors of the Bolshevik revolution and takeover of Russia. And then we could bring Germany in with Antifa, and the communist pushed Germany right to the edge where they almost took Germany, and then which caused the rise of the National Socialists in Germany as a reaction to damn near taking over Germany and turning it communist. Okay. Fascist movements in both Spain and Italy arose in reaction to the horrors of the Bolshevik Revolution and takeover of Russia, essentially as a Christian bulwark against any possible Judeo-communist insurgency. So unlike Russia, they were prepared to crush any attempts to undermine their nations. Now, we have to, and I'm going to stop reading the article here, but we have to realize the dialectical process here with how this happened. The commies flood into these countries. They attempt revolution, which sparks counter-revolution of what we would call the fascist movements. Unfortunately, behind the fascist movements are some of the same creeps running the communist revolutions. And I'm not saying completely. I'm saying hiding in the background in certain places. Himmler had an uncle that was a Jesuit, okay, Heinrich Himmler. And you see these things to where you're like, at certain points, these guys probably became saboteurs to the fascist movements at the right time and the right place in order for them to eventually fall to Russia, United States, Britain, and so forth. And so basically what they did, they brought out all the best and brightest of the people that didn't want to become communists, and they freaking sacrificed them at the last minute to the communists, and then Europe has never been the same. The European Union is a Soviet state, and this is what we're dealing with. And it sucks to have to really to be someone that can that actually kind of figured this out, and you're just like, these, you know, there were bad people embedded in the fascist movements that at the right time sabotaged them, and they ended up losing this whole thing. And basically world Marxism, world Bolshevism has now taken root. And this is kind of like how I'm gauging it. And see, and now you see the Jesuit papacy and how they're acting. I mean, they're about to go say, they're about to chuck the entire traditional Catholic viewpoints on everything, sexuality, all of it, and turn this into this world kind of Chrislam, world like Babylonian harlot church. Okay. And this is where it's going. And there's a government sitting there right next to it. Central bank digital currencies, social credit scores, panopticon level surveillance, the whole nine yards. Look at what the Vatican did with forcing everybody to take these shots. Now, what were their shots different than everybody else's? Quite possibly. We saw the stuff that RFK talked about, with kind of piggybacking on Lee Merritt and other people's kind of looking at how somehow these shots didn't affect the Ashkenazis and the Chinese in the same way that they did the blacks and whites and so forth. Well, we remember when you read Behind Communism by Frank Britton, you got Shapiro and Epstein and all these people that were sitting there developing communism in China, the Great Leap Forward, all that stuff. There were Jews sitting there, laying the intellectual groundwork for Mao and his gang to run roughshod over the Chinese people and kill millions and millions and millions of people. And now all of a sudden the shot rolls out. The Chinese generals brag about how they're going to beat the West with biological warfare. And then it just so happens the shot comes out. And guess what? It doesn't really affect Ashkenazis and Chinese that bad. Interesting, isn't it? But it's definitely a good read on that Christians for Truth about Franco and the Spanish fascists and the war against communism and so forth. Unfortunately, it looked like some of the dirtbags high up in the church stabbed the fascists in the back when the time was right, when the order was given, and then fascism fell, and now we got this big old tranny world communism. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.